Hello and welcome back to Naturally Adventurous. This is Charlie, today flying solo. Ken and I discussed a little bit on the last episode about how we were surprised to have kept the weekly podcast going after almost 4 years. And it's not been easy. And this year especially, we've both been very busy. It's not that we don't have time, it's that the time that we have off often doesn't coincide. So, you know, I'll be on a tour and he's off, or he's on a tour and I'm off. Also, we're in different time zones, so it's been especially tricky. So rather than skip a week, I thought I would step up and try a solo podcast. Ken also mentioned that we'd been doing quite a lot of traveling that we really wanted to talk about on the podcast, so we've got a bit of a backlog. I spent 6 weeks in Japan recently, and I plan to do at least a couple of podcasts about some of my experiences during that time. Of course, it's mainly a birding tour, but you do see some pretty cool mammals there as well. So today I want to do a Naturally Adventurous Top 5 Mammals episode. Ken often sneaks in an extra one with an honorable mention, so I'm going to kick off today with an honorable mention that didn't quite make the top 5. Japan is an interesting place. It's on the far eastern edge of Asia. In biogeographical terms, we call it the Palearctic, which extends all the way from Western Europe all the way across to Eastern Asia. And there's sometimes a little bit of similarity in wildlife between Japan and the UK, which is kind of counterintuitive considering how far they are apart. But yeah, one of the animals that is found in both places is a red fox. It's one of the few mammals that I grew up having some experience of. In Japan, there's several main islands, and often species that occur on these islands, both mammals and birds, are different subspecies. And the subspecies of red fox on Hokkaido is particularly vivid in color. The fox and also the sika deer are both known as Ezo. So this is the Ezo red fox. And really, really bright orange. It's often active during the day as well. So we often see that during our time in Hokkaido. And very photogenic. You often see it in the snow. Makes really nice photos. A couple of times I've seen it jumping up and then plunging down into the snow and sort of madly digging and trying to dig out various rodents and stuff from inside. On Hokkaido, one of the big target birds is the Blakiston's fish owl. It's a bird we've chatted about before. And the lodge that we stay at, they bait them in with the live fish. We've got a little pond in the middle of a river, and we're sort of all watching from the lodge. And at some point in the night, the owl comes in, this huge owl, you know, biggest, bulkiest, heaviest owl in the world. A couple of the local foxes have learned how to catch fish out of this pond. So they turn up as well during the night and stand on the edge of the pond and then sort of try and grab a fish when they can. With the foxes being there, they stop the Blakiston's fish owls from coming down. So the owners of the lodge don't really like them. And they keep a bucket of pebbles, these small stones, by the door. And if they turn up, they sort of open the door and then they start hurling pebbles out at this fox. They don't hit the fox and, you know, they're only small pebbles anyway, but these foxes, they take off and then the owls come down. Yeah, very photogenic animal, very beautiful, very kind of emblematic of this very cold island of Hokkaido in the north of Japan. That was my honorable mention of a mammal, so let's get into the top five. My number five mammal is an animal I don't particularly like very much personality-wise. It's a Japanese macaque type of monkey with a short tail. They're pretty rare. I think they're like an endangered species. But the most famous place to see them in Japan is in Nagano Prefecture. And it's called Jigokudani. It means a sort of hell valley. It's like a hot spring there. And for a long time, these monkeys have been coming in to sort of keep warm in the water. And it's something you often see on wildlife documentaries and magazines. When you see them on TV, often they show these monkeys in these hot springs with these kind of soft instrumental Japanese music playing in the background. But when you get up there, it's a bit of a zoo, eh? It's very touristy, very popular. So although what you see when you take a picture of these monkeys in the bath is very, you know, very nice, what the monkeys see is something very different. There's hundreds of tourists like staring at them with their cameras and stuff. But still, it's a very nice place to visit. It's about a mile hike up this beautiful valley, often covered in snow. Lots of Japanese cedar trees there. And then you get up to the top and there's hundreds of these monkeys. And they actually feed them with corn. And they throw this grain in the hot springs. And it takes a while for them to eat it because they're just like little pieces. So they just kind of sit there in the water. And it actually keeps them in the water rather than just going in briefly and coming out. So, but they're very strict on not letting anybody take any other food in. If you've taken your own sandwiches and plastic bags and stuff, it makes the monkeys very naughty and they start pulling food off people and biting them and stuff, and they really don't want that. But yeah, it's a place we always visit on the birding tour because it's very famous and people always want to go there. But sometimes I have to kind of explain to the clients that it's maybe not quite what they're expecting. But people still enjoy it. You get nice photos and it's in some ways a little bit of a highlight. Okay, moving on to number four. Over the past 10 years, I've been doing these Japan tours, and mostly it's been on the largest three islands in Japan, the Hokkaido, Honshu, and Kyushu. But recently, just the last couple of years, we've started offering an extension to Okinawa, or I should say the Ryukyu Islands. Okinawa is an island. It's also a prefecture made up of several islands. But there's a chain of islands that goes from the southern tip of Kyushu all the way down to Taiwan, and they're called the Ryukyu Islands. And I'm hoping to do a podcast about these because they're fascinating islands, both culturally and also for wildlife. Yeah, so Ryukyu Islands refers to Okinawa Prefecture and also the islands of Kagoshima Prefecture. When we were on Okinawa, we were looking for various birds. We do a lot of night activities there, owling and going out at night looking for sleeping rails and things like that. But, you know, we'll go out pre-dawn and after dusk and go back and have dinner and then go back again. So sometimes we're doing like three nocturnal activities a day, you know, it can be for 5 days. So it's pretty intense. But we went out one night on Okinawa actually looking for woodcocks, the Eurasian woodcock in this park that I'd heard about. And we went there. I had my thermal scope ready and we started walking around and walking up these steps towards the area where the woodcocks are found. And I was just started to scan around. And I kind of looked over with the thermal scope and I saw these big red blotches. And you never know quite what it is with a thermal scope because it could also just be like a lamp or something that's giving off heat. And then I put the spotlight on them and I saw these three Ryukyu flying foxes, these big fruit bats. And they were crawling around a plum blossom tree, either eating the flowers or licking the nectar or something. But they just kind of were hanging there, like looking at us, looking very funny. And it was really so unexpected. I don't think we had them the year before, but these ones just showed really well. And they're kind of cute, you know, even they've got these kind of leathery wings and these long hooks. They've actually got this nice sort of dark fur, but then this kind of mane of golden fur and really spectacular, beautiful mammals. Okay, moving on to number three. Our main tour starts on the island of Honshu, where the big cities of Tokyo and Osaka and places like that are. But we go up to the Japanese Alps in Nagano Prefecture, and we stay in this lovely town called Karuizawa. Beautiful beech forests and coniferous forests. And, you know, we're looking for birds like copper pheasants and Japanese waxwings and all that. Sometimes we come across this kind of mountain goat-type animal called the Japanese serow. It's got this kind of grayish fur, very dense fur, and they're really incredible animals. You know, they're related to goats, and they're very good climbers, do very well on these very steep slopes. And yeah, well, after we've started using thermal scopes, they're actually quite easy to pick out on these cold hillsides where they just stay very still. And anyway, so we went up there looking for copper pheasant and stuff, and I'm scanning around, and I see this big red blob. And we looked down and we had nice views of this Japanese serow, and it kind of scampers off. And then we go further along, and then somebody in the car said, "What's that?" And we look over, and then right next to the road is this big, grey, furry Japanese serow. And it was like right next to the car, seemingly unafraid. And I'd heard about this animal, that it was almost kind of tame. I don't know if people are feeding it or whether it's just got used to people. It's a road that not many cars go along anymore. It's just kind of tourists. It's not a busy road anymore. So it's quite happily just wanders along the edge of the road. But yeah, it was a wonderful view of this just gorgeous animal. Mammal watchers in Japan, this is a big target. You know, if you're going to look at mammals, this is an unmissable animal and can be quite tricky in summer, especially because they climb really high up in the mountains and quite hard to see. That was very nice sighting. We'll move on to number two. And this is an animal. I've done, 10 plus tours in Japan now. And this is an animal I'd never seen in Japan before. I've only seen it once before in my life, and that was in Canada. And it's the orca or killer whale. I mentioned already the Blackstone's Fish Owl Lodge. So you do that at night, waiting for this owl. But during the day in that area, you do a boat ride out to sea to look for Stella seagulls. And, a lot of North Americans now are very familiar with these because there was a bird on the East Coast that was seen by a lot of people. But we had a guy on one of our tours, and he decided to count them during the few days that we were in Hokkaido, and he got to 500 individuals. So this is just not one bird, in the distance. This is hundreds and hundreds of these huge eagles at close range. And like I said before, I did two tours. One of the things that has got a little bit later and later every year is this ice flow that comes down from the north. So on the first tour, it hadn't arrived yet. It arrives later and later every year. Yeah, if it doesn't arrive, this boat ride that we go out on, they just get this frozen fish and they just toss them into the sea one by one. And these eagles fly down and they catch these fish, which are floating on the sea. And it's amazing photo opportunity. It's really cool. But if the ice flow has arrived, then this really makes a special setting for photographs. And they actually toss these frozen fish onto the ice, and these dozens and dozens of eagles come down, and they're all fighting and flapping and flying in and grabbing all these fish. And it's a real highlight. It's really spectacular. So we did that. But on the first trip that we did, we were just tossing all these fish around in the sea. We're out on this boat that's on two floors, and there's a lady on the top floor with binoculars, and she's scanning the sea. She's like the spotter. And all of a sudden, I hear this word, shachi, which I recognize to be the Japanese name for killer whales. And I'd heard that they'd been seen like a few days previously, and I'd actually asked about them, and they told me that they thought they'd moved on. So I was really happy to hear that these amazing animals were still around, and the boat really opened up and just shot off towards these killer whales. And we're getting over in that direction. We're all scanning the sea to see if we can spot these killer whales. And then off to the side, we see these big dorsal fins breaking the surface of the sea. And we're all shouting and pointing and starting getting photographs. And then off to the other side, there was another sort of two or three animals. And then another group. And I think altogether there was about 10 individuals. And we spent probably half an hour just following these killer whales around. And these were sort of moving around and feeding. I think they were hunting or maybe catching fish or something. And they were going under the boat and breaking the water just right next to the boat. I mean, it was an absolutely incredible sighting. So I was really happy to see those. In between then and the next tour that I did, I was watching the news in Japan, and I saw this news article came up that these killer whales in Hokkaido were trapped in the ice. And it seemed that between the two tours, this ice flow had arrived. And these animals got trapped in the ice flow, and they have to keep a hole open so that, they'll feed on fish and come back up and breathe and go down again. But because it's all kind of frozen, they were having to try and keep this breathe hole open. And I guess the ice flow was so wide that they weren't able to swim to the edge to breathe. So in previous years, this has also happened, and the group of whales had all died. They drowned. So I was really worried. But by the time I got back, I heard that they'd managed to get out, but they'd moved on. And I think as soon as they got out, they just started swimming south. I mean, it's such a dangerous thing to get caught in the ice. But yeah, so we didn't see them on the second trip, but just on the first. But it was an amazing sighting and a big relief that they weren't drowned out there. On to my number one mammal sighting of the trip. And surprisingly, this was a rabbit, but not just any rabbit. This is a black rabbit. So I mentioned previously the Ryukyu Islands, made up of Okinawa, but also some of the islands in Kagoshima Prefecture, one of which is called Amami. And the big island of Amami is Amami Oshima. And there you get these native black rabbits, or the Amami rabbit. They've got short ears, and they just look incredibly primitive. And they are like a proto-bunny. You know, these things are probably a sort of a leftover population. You know, all the others have sort of gone extinct, and this is like a relict population of these very ancient lineage of rabbits. We went out doing a lot of night stuff, looking for owls, looking for Amami woodcocks, one of the endemics. And also we managed to find these black rabbits. These rabbits were very agile, and there'd be these steep sides to the road, and they'd be like feeding on the side of the road. And when you kind of came by slowly in your car, they would run up the bank and disappear into the forest. So it was quite hard. They were only around for a few seconds. And because we had a larger group, we had a two-vehicle trip, so it was quite a challenge to get everybody on the rabbits. And even in your own vehicle, you know, it was quite hard for the people at the back to see out the front window and whatever. But yeah, we in the end, we managed to get most people on them. Anyway, yeah, that's a very special mammal, a big target of the tour, another big target for mammal watchers, the Amami or black rabbit. Anyway, it's a fascinating place in many aspects, Japan, for birds, for culture, and certainly for mammals as well. But I had a great and very varied trip there this year, and it was a lot of fun. Anyway, thanks for listening to my top five mammals from my recent Japan trip. Big thank you for our patrons who support us. If you want to join them, check out the link in the show notes below. Yeah, these mammals that I mentioned don't make much noise, especially the rabbit. But while we were out looking for rabbits, you do hear a lot of these owls, one of the commonest of which is a Ryukyu scops owl. It's a very commonly heard sound in the Ryukyu forests. So yeah, this is the Ryukyu scops owl, which I heard when looking for the Amami rabbit. All the best. Thanks for listening. Take care. Catch you next time on Naturally Adventurous.